But anyways, yeah, so Steve and I had content, but I didn't do it because I was lazy. But Jordan reminded me, so thank you. And it reminded me of a story by the Rupshitzer Rebbe. They said the Rupshitzer Rebbe was on we'll count this in the Chabur, I guess, but the Rupshitzer Rebbe was walking in the town, and then they were, like, in the wealthy areas, like, there were watchmen who would watch over the homes, and he said to one of the watchmen, who's your master? And then he said, you know, so-and-so's my master, and then he asked the Rupshitzer Rebbe, who's your master? And the Rupshitzer Rebbe walked around, he paced, and then he just, like, really thought deep about it, who's my master? And he's like, I don't have one. And then the watchman said, okay. And then the Rupshitzer Rebbe said to the watchman, he said, could you be my watchman? And then the watchman said, sure, but what do I have to do? And then he said, remind me. So thank you, Jordan, for reminding me. Yeah. It's a very deep story. I don't know what it means, but it's just very deep. But in Chodesh Tammuz, we need many reminders. Because Chodesh Tammuz is a very hard month. There's an intense and oppressive heat, and the biosphere reflects the spiritual energy of the month, which is chaotic and destructive and dysfunctional. And the way to Tammuz is to A, lean into the heat, or B, to cool it off, which is what we'll talk about today. How to lean into the heat and how to cool it off. So we'll start by talking about how to lean into the heat of Tammuz. So there are two types of heat. The pace is good. It's always going to be quick when I said, but whatever. But two types of heat. One is reflected by the weather we're experiencing right now, which is reflected by Eish, one of the four elements. So they have their positive imputations, the four elements, and then they have their negative counterparts. So we'll be Maskel, Gunas, and Mosayim B'Shevach. So we'll talk about their positive, their negative parts, and then we'll go into their positive a little bit later. So we'll use the Lashon of the Tanya. So one of the four elements is the Mayim, which is the Tivus HaTanugim. Kemayim, it's something called Minei Tanya, that the appetite for pleasure emanates from the element of water, which promotes the growth of all kinds of pleasurable things. Like we have the puzzle, Kol Nechalim Elchem Elyam, Vananamelu Malei. That meaning that when you go through all these Tivus, like you'll never actually fulfill yourself. And then I also raised the last pack of Shir Shirim, if anybody, I don't know by heart. I think it's Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lichvos Es Ahava. And then the next part is something Yishtefu, like you won't drown anybody. Whatever, the idea is that, like, you know, when you're a very strong person, then, like, you won't get sucked in, you won't end up drowning through these tivus. Then you have Ruach, which is the Holy Spirit, the Son of the Spirit, the Son, which is the frivolity and squawking and idle talk, which is from air because it lacks substance. Then you have Atlas V'Atzos, which we've discussed many, many a time, which is sloth and melancholia. And then there's Kas V'Gaivish and Nigbal L'Mailo, which comes from Eish, which is anger and pride, elevating upwards, which is the lush of inflation, like Rash. The second paragraph of Tehillim says, "Penyan after the soul didarich kivar kimat apo," that lest he become angered and destroy in your ways in the mere flash of his anger. So Rashi says, "Ki berega muat yaver," that in a moment's flash the anger rises upwards. So there's a lot of inflation in Tammuz. There's this panel at Harvard called the Great Inflation. You heard of this? You might have heard of this. Sort of Tursky's father, Professor Tursky, the Talmud Rebbe, so Leitchik son-in-law. So he was at this panel at Harvard on Great Inflation. It was like a big problem, and then he said, "It's not just Great Inflation. It's like." This is just like, that's a microcosm of something larger going on, that like there's a rhetoric inflation, verbal inflation. You know, he said it's not just great inflation, like this is the door of inflation. So that's a big Indian in Tammuz. There's a lot of inflation going on. And essentially when you major in minor things and when you assign greater significance to things which don't have that much great significance, then you're inflating things. We often do this with negative things. Like we spoke about the Mark Twain quote that I found it. So I'll put it first. We live through many frightening experiences in our lifetime and most of them don't actually happen. So the Muslim month is cancer, which is sartan, which is in hot weather, crabs multiply, they proliferate. So cancers react quickly, they're heated, they have strong emotions. Jordan's cancer. So we can inflate negative things, but we have to remember not to feed these negativity ducks. You know, you feed one duck and the next one comes. So we have to capitalize on our positive thoughts. That's Rabbi Nachman in Torah Reish Pei Beis, also in the beginning of Likutei Halachos. He quotes the pasuk from Tehillim and the old ma'at being Russia, he's put it down the comma of the end of that, just a little bit, but old ma'at, like old ma'at, and then, you know, you'll be good. So tzarech, so Rabbi Nachman says, tzarech ata lechapes, which is like, a tzarech ata is a very strong language, it's like, you must, you are required to, it's mandatory that you search out, lechapes, lelakash, limso bo ma'at tov, shesham, in Russia, that you must search out, you must look for the good, wherein there is no wicked. And then also he quotes the odi, and then he says, be'odi daika, right? So you have to do that with a positive. So you know the same thing we do with the negatives, you have to do with the positive. You know, you inflate all your negative thoughts, do that with the positive. How do you do that? Well, you do it with your negative thoughts all the time. So just do it with the positive things. It's not hard. You do it all the time with the negative stuff. So just, you know, inflate all your positive stuff as well. So the nature of the crab is to hide itself away within its thick shell and bury itself within the crevices at the seashore. That's what Google said. But so instead of crabbing around, we have to learn to directly address our suffering, embrace the deeper spiritual needs, and that's the ticket of the month, which is to directly address things, to go for it, not to kind of cover it up, which we'll get into. And the crab moves sideways, so, you know, that's indirect, and unless we want to, you know, be slaves to the mazal, you know, be slaves to our predisposed proclivities and the fatalistic destiny that come about the mazalos, we have to learn how to directly confront our stuff. So Davra Melech in Perek Lamed Ches of Tehillim, you go through it, Perek Lamed Ches, I might have showed you this one time, but like the entire Parak, it's like a sequence of like psychosomaticism. I'm not being like woke, it's just like Imamish is, but we can't go through the thing, we'll go through a little. It's Ein Misom Bisari B'nidei Zaymech. Anybody know what Misom is? Lashon Misom. Ein Misom Bisari. There's no Misom within my heart because of your wrath. Misom. So Rash says there's lashon tamimus, like wholesomeness, but in the really people translate it as space. Like there's no wholesomeness. I can't make space within myself. I don't feel whole, and because I'm not whole, I can't make space. I'm not able to hold any space. It's the recognition of my lack ability. I can hold no space for myself when confronting the notion that I'm not whole. Then he says ain shalom batzoma mein chatasi, that because of this abyss, because of this like existential cavity, I can feel no inner peace because of my actions. Ki avonasai avir roshi kemas chavod yichbedu b'meni, that because my actions pass over my head like a heavy burden weighing me down. So our emotions are difficult as they are, but when we don't need to suppress them more and then just make it more difficult, and that causes the burden to weigh us down even more greatly. That's what Rav Melech is talking about, that things were just kamasa chavid yichbedu b'meni, that it's becoming even more heavy. You have anxiety, then you have anxiety about anxiety, which comes about through us just being anxious about the anxiety that we have instead of just accepting it for what it is. So we don't have to worship our anxieties, and we don't have to worship our negative emotions, but we shouldn't suppress it either. I was talking a lot of Bachram these days in the past few days, so this really inspired this. So shout out to the Bachram listening. But oftentimes, you know, deep people, when they don't feel good, they end up doing very shallow things and attempt to rid themselves of the negative things instead of realizing that big people have big problems. That's what the Ivets wanted to unban polygamy, or at least pilagesh. Anybody read this shuva? So he had a few reasons.
It's probably pilagesh.
What?
Probably pilagesh.
First polygamy, but then he was like, I'm not a godot to death. Then he said, maybe pilagesh, because the Maran Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis says that kol hagobo mechaver gets a godot to many. So that, you know, big people have big problems. So he also said it's like chukas goyim, because we just did it because the knights were the ones that first didn't want polygamy, whatever. And then he also said that, you know, prevents pru revu, so whatever. He had a few reasons to solve the shit of crisis, but whatever. So Givaldi, can I quote a secular book here? Everybody's come through. So Harry Potter, there's not numbing the pain for a while will make it worse when you finally feel it. So the avoida is that we have to tap into this right now. The body's response, or our natural response to negative emotions or thoughts, is to block it out of our conscious memory, but then we're just distancing these emotions from ourselves, and then it's going to hit us eventually. It will hit us eventually. So you might as well just address it immediately. Address it directly. Don't crab around. Address it directly. Because at some point it will come up, so just do it now. Eat the frog first thing in the morning. That's what they say. Yeah, and when you're not conscious of areas of hurt, it controls you more because you aren't aware of how it affects you. But when you face it, it doesn't control you anymore because you recognize that it exists and you can work on it. So you shouldn't be scared of any emotion that you feel. We accept all our emotions for what they are. We can only heal once we can accept that we have these blemishes. The ugly truth is more beautiful, is better than the beautiful lie. I heard them from Wayne Jacobson. So what happens when we're in denial of our feelings is, if I admit them, like I don't want to, we are in denial because if we admit them, then we have to admit that we don't like a part of ourselves. So we don't want to admit that that thing exists, but we just have to admit that it exists and then go from there. How many of the stories that you come up with in your head aren't true, but are just concocted by way of imagined faculties in order that you can feel better about yourself? So because your ego is too fragile to accept it for what it is. So you have to, I dare you, the avoid is to, if Thomas is to really get comfortable with how you feel. Yeah, it's like quicksand. Anybody know how you survive quicksand? What? Exactly. What do you like direct? Like, what do you like mamish do? Exactly. Lean back, right? Because the buoyancy of the body will allow you to survive. So you have to like lean into like the negativity, lean into sinking instead of trying to fight it. Just like lean into it. I googled this. How to survive quicksand tutorial. WikiHow. Yeah.
Like the black stuff from Harry Potter.
The black. What?
First one.
We'll discuss later. Yeah, I'm not. We'll discuss later. Yeah, so you have to realize, like, you are, you know, we have this very conditional attitude toward our feelings, but you have to recognize that you are not exclusively emotions. You're much greater than your emotions. You recognize your emotions. Don't identify with them. Don't define yourself by it, but just acknowledge that you have it, but that you are greater than that. You are not the sum totality, that you're more than that. And then there's called cognitive fusion, which refers to the entanglement of thoughts with one's identity, where individuals become overly attached and dominated by their thoughts, hindering psychological flexibility. So we have to defuse the cognitive fusion. And when you recognize it, you can admit it, you can heal from it, and not let it be the totality of what you are. Jordan showed me in the two Jordans. This is and I'm Yaret. So, what are you? What do you provide? Whatever. In last week's parsha, the pasuk says by Yisu Mehar Ahor that they journeyed from Har Ahor, Derech Yamsif, Lisvov Es Eretz Edom, Vatikzar Nefesh Am Baderech. So Rashi comments on the lashon of Kitzer Nefesh. Rashi says that when you have this phrase of Kitzer Nefesh, literally shortness of the spirit or psychic mutilation, it's Kitzer. It's the seizing of the self, the Nefesh. So it refers to anything that's difficult to bear. Rashi says, V'chol davar kashe al adam milfa bo b'lashin kitzer nefesh, that any time that there's something that hard, you have this lashon of kitzer nefesh. So it's like shortness of breath. Kesh adam tereyach ba'ala ve'in daitos rechava l'kabal esay davar. When you don't have a daito rechava, when you don't have an expansive mind to accept everything that's coming your way, ve'in lo makam, you have no space within yourself, in misayim b'sari, b'soch libo lagor shamatzar, that you can't allow it to exist within you, you can't let it sorry, you can't let this pain just exist within you. Therefore, Rashi says, V'dvar ha-matrich nofel l'shem gadol, that any time that you have like this lashon of matrich, this lashon of burden. Right? As the Tehillim said, "Kamasa chavad yichbedu b'meni." So negativity is essentially closed-mindedness. It's not having an archavas adas. So imagine how much lighter life can feel if you just let go. There's this Givaldi line. Can I quote a politician in the base medrash? Chachma Bagoyim, Ezu Chachma Malimin called him. So I'm not endorsing her Israel policies, but Kamala Harris had, she got ripped on, but it was a gewaldig line. It was actually Chachma Shabachachma. Yes, it was Chachma. She said, imagine what can be unburdened by what is. Imagine what can be unburdened by what has been. It's gewaldig. Everybody ripped on her on like TikTok, but like that was actually Chachma. Imagine how great life can be unburdened by what is. If you just... like you have all these burdens on your shoulder, like you can like feel it on your shoulder. It's like Mar Rabbi Tzai Rabbi Kamala, that you have these made sarm, these constrictions that are nichnas agud. But if you just like walk into a room freely, not feel like so restricted, and like just be your full self, imagine how great you could feel. No, ah, it's gewaldig aligned, and the whole Olam ripped on her for it, but.
Because they couldn't handle
They couldn't handle the Amkus. It's like what they say, Rabbi Nachman, why are people Mabazim? Because Krum's Lus Livnei Adam, the Pasuk, and the Gemara says that what are the Dwarim Sheh Beruma Shal Olam, the Olam is Mabazbin or Mekalkulin then? So one of the things is Tefillin, Rabbi Nachman represents Tefillin, so people would be Mabazim. Yeah, anyways. So he is also, how am I doing in time? So heat is also the source of powerful transformation. Like you have positive heat, which is illuminating light. So you have two people in the summer. One is schwitzing, and the other one's just like enjoying the sun. So, you know, we have to be the latter type of person. Like there's sweating, and then there's beach heat. So you want to be a beachy type of person. You want to lean into the heat. We have to accept the heat for what it is, and accept what, you know, we have to accept what is and let go of what isn't. So this month can be a time of radical self-acceptance, of radically accepting the heat. Every month there's essentially a 12-part symbiotic symbolic structure that represents the energy of the month. So one of the things is the tzir of the permutation. So this month is Hey Vav Hey Yud, which is the opposite of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is in Nisan, which is obvious because they took the month of Ula, so it's obvious divine revelation. That's why there's a pasuk created within the tzirif of the month. So the pasuk is Yisuf Hashem Misal the Arts. It's Lashon Du. It's very obvious. This month is the exact opposite. It's Hey Vav Hey Yud, which is the opposite of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because this sequence represents the indirect flow and the unobvious revelation. It's exactly backwards. It represents the concealment, the constriction of the divine flow. It's a harsh spiritual energy, and there's great divine concealment in this month. And on the one hand, that's very hard because we don't have divine assistance in this month. It's a very, very hard month, Thomas. But on the other hand, it's great because the opportunity to turn ourselves around and reverse these negative trends and transform them into positive trajectories, because we're not bound by anything from above, at least as much. So the pasuk secreted is Zeh Einenu Shoveli. What's the full pasuk? Anybody know? That Haman says, Zeh Einenu Shoveli.
It doesn't really
hot.
What's the
hay? Zeh, like the hay and the zeh. Inane, like it doesn't always have to, you know, exactly, yeah. So what was Haman doing? He was feeding the negativity ducks. That wasn't enough for him. Like everything was good except for one thing, and he wasn't, whatever Nachman said, he wasn't the dike of the Odna, you know, so he had to focus on that. Then there's a letter of the month, which is Ches. We've never done the letter of the month, but Rukuk has a paper called Reish Milim. Have you heard of this? So Reish Milim, it was published in early 1917. It was a slim volume. Reish Milim, the beginning, Rosh Milim, the beginning of words. It's a series of mystical reflections in the Hebrew alphabet, and the mysticism of the letters is a technique employed by a lot of the prophetic Kabbalah, like Avraham Avulafia, also in Lithuanian Kabbalah, which I can't speak for, but apparently it's a lot in there. And Rukuk says that letters are like vehicles for translating inchoate thoughts into words and ideas. So Marav Kamed Afnon Hey says that the first time a letter is used in the Torah, that letter, like that word of the Torah, right, like it really represents something going on for the rest of Tanakh, or you know, just for the rest of eternity. So like Masha Haikar Nikav Ashur, they know who will call them. So it's important. So like the first time Ches is used in the Torah, it's for Choshech, so which is the opposite of heat, which is the, you know, the vibe of the month. Yet in this month, the heat can really bring such great darkness, bring such great chaos and dysfunction. So this indicates that the month of Thomas has an amplified potential for intense spiritual darkness. But if we lean into the heat properly, we can channel it toward positive light. So we spoke about how to lean into the heat. Now we'll speak about how to cool it off in conjunction with discussing the positive manifestation of the four elements. Because before earlier we discussed the negative imputations. But the element of the month of Thomas is ironically Mayim. So water cools down heat, it extinguishes fire. And when we're in a state of negativity, sometimes we just need to cool things off a little bit to feel better. It's like jumping into a pool after a job. So it's the same thing spiritually. Or Soloveitchik has the Gavaldic piece on mikvahs in Essays of the Rav in the Pink Book and Kodesh and Chol, which I quote a lot. So he says that mikvahs, when man stumbles and falls contaminated by sin, I may have said this many times, when man stumbles and falls contaminated by sin, he doesn't allow himself to fall into the abyss of despair. Rather, he jumps into the mikvah, which is synonymous with hope. Kaveh. Kaveh l'ashem chazak yam tzibecha. So Rashi says, v'im lo tis kabot v'chazak chazak v'kaveh. And I comment on this, v'chein la'ilam. So the avoida is, we have to kaveh l'ashem, we have to jump into the coolness, we have to lean into the heat, or jump into the, or cool it off, and don't feed the negativity ducks. And Rabbi Nachman says, v'chein la'ilam. So, kaveh l'ashem chazak v'kaveh. Thank you.